obsessed.
Okay, it's recording.
Okay.
I was like, nothing's happening on the screen.
Uh-oh.
It just stopped for a minute.
It's all right. It's working and that's all we need it to do.
Yeah, that's it. It'd be nice if it did a lot more, but
yeah,
this if it is was the minimum I'm asking for.
Yeah, if the program could just like be a total tech guy, like that'd be helpful.
If it could edit for me, that would be great. Because so far the last 2 or 3 weeks I've edited it on Friday night and released it on Saturday.
That gives me anxiety and this is why I don't do editing.
Yeah, well, it's just kind of like my anxiety versus my procrastination weighing up between each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the episode that just released, the episode 18,
mm-hmm.
It's real stupid. So I actually edited it. I started editing it last Sunday.
Oh, okay.
And I got about halfway through and then I don't know why, but I put it down and I stopped and then I didn't finish it until Saturday morning, the day it releases.
Except you know what, like I've watched you work before and you just get sidetracked with all the other projects you're doing. You're like, okay, I'll do this. Oh, that's enough of that one. I'll go into this one for a bit. And then it's like, okay, yeah.
I just didn't want to do it anymore. So I stopped. And then I was like, oh, I'll do it on Wednesday. I'll do it on Thursday. I'll do it on Friday. I just did it Saturday morning.
Yeah, it got done. And that's the important thing.
Hey, it happened. And it wasn't even that late.
That's true.
It was like 6 minutes late.
That's fine.
Yeah, fuck it.
We've done way worse things on this podcast.
Definitely. Hi, I'm Ash.
I'm Laura.
So, hold on.
Oh, God.
So, we're recording a little bit later today because our washing machine died. And I think I tweeted this out as well, but do you ever have a gift card to a particular store?
Mm-hmm.
You go to that store with the intention of using that gift card. You spend more money than you normally would because you have the gift card. Then you get home and realize you didn't use the gift card.
I literally did this the other day.
This happened to me today and I'm very upset about it.
And then you come home and you just look at the gift card. You're like, fuck, I could have used that.
Yeah. And so we went to buy a washing machine. We picked one. We picked a washer dryer combo because our appliances are really old. And we also got like a JBL like portable speaker.
Oh, okay.
So we spent like $1,800. We had a gift card for like $150.
Oh, my God.
But we specifically went to this store so that we could use the gift card. And then we got in the car and we went, fuck, we didn't even use, like, we took it with us. In the car before we went into the shop, Tana asked me if I had the gift card. And I was like, yes, it's in my bag. Cool. We got so distracted that it didn't even matter.
That was your rookie mistake. You've got to have the gift card in your hand the whole time in the store.
Yeah.
Can't be out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And then we were like, oh, we'll just have to get something else. So now we're going to get a coffee percolator.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which is not worth the same amount as the gift card. So I don't know what we're going to do.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So but that happened to me today.
I mean, I totally relate though. Like, that's totally fine.
Oh, so upset.
Actually, it was really funny when you messaged me to push the time for the podcast because you were like out doing things. I had just got out of the shower. And so I'm like because I listen to music in the shower. And so I got out and I saw all the messages. I'm like, oh, what's going on? So I ran and you were like, oh, can we push it? And then I'm standing there like completely naked in my towel. And I'm just like, okay, if we're doing it today, then that means I need to put nice clothes on. But if we're not doing it today, I will put on sweatpants and I will just look like a...
You dress in sweatpants and come over all the time.
I do, but I was like, oh, I'll have to put on a nice top with my sweatpants. But I'm more like, I will just barely get dressed today if I'm not coming here. Because like at home, I will be in like sweatpants and like a crop top. But I'm like, I can't shop here in my crop top. Like, gotta put in a little bit of effort.
Sure you can.
I could.
The only person that sees you is me and the dog.
Yeah, true.
And neither of us give a shit.
I'll just start showing up in like my dressing gown or something. Just be like,
I think I've definitely worn my pajamas while we've done this before.
Yeah, that probably
like
is
almost
true.
Certainly.
Okay. Maybe this should become a challenge. Like, what
we did an episode where I was in a sheet and you were in a Stitch onesie. I don't think it matters anymore.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
It was actually funny. I was looking at those pictures the other day. And I've forgotten about it already.
Yeah, it seems like so long ago.
I know. Well, it's because it's officially last year now. Once the year finishes, I just forget everything. I'm just like, yep, 2021.
And it was last year ended over a month ago now.
Oh, my God.
Because it's February.
Oh, I'm not ready. I am ready, but I'm not ready.
The older I get, the more I realize that time is just a fucking concept and it's so confusing because it just disappears so quickly.
Yeah. Now we're getting existential and I'm going to have a crisis, but... Actually, I was thinking about this the other day. You know how, like, you'll be talking to someone and they'll be like, oh my God, like, today went so slowly. And you'll be like, yeah, it did actually. Like, how does that link up though?
Because it's just, I think it just depends on how often you're checking the time.
Yeah.
Because if you're busy, you're not, you don't have the chance to really look at the clock. You're not seeing how quickly you're working and your mind's occupied. Whereas if you're like sitting on the couch and wandering around a kitchen, looking at different types of food to eat, it's been 3 minutes and it feels like 4 hours.
Oh, but this has happened like with people who are busy, who are not busy. Like on days when I've like been out doing a million things, I might be like, oh, today's just like dragging on. But then I'll talk to other people and they'll all say the same thing. They'll be like, oh, today dragged on. Like, oh, today went so slowly. I'm like,
unless it's just a like relatable thing where they just say that, well, because they haven't noticed if it has or hasn't been, and that's put the, I'm becoming psychological again.
Like a little bit.
I've been reading my textbooks ahead.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I actually bought a textbook the other day. But no, see, my explanation was way cooler, where I was like, maybe time is relative and we're all on, like it changes day to day and we all notice it. So it's like when everyone's like, oh, I know, I'm so stressed.
Is that your stomach that just
growled? Yes, I'm legit stressed about this case, man. Like, it's just making noises. Because, okay, so.
I really hope. I don't think that picked up. But if it did even a little bit, I'm going to blow that sound up and try and find it. Have you been watching anything new?
No, I've just been going through New Girl like 5 times a week. Okay, not that much, but yeah. Like,
well, it doesn't matter if you did, because I've had the weirdest week media consumption wise.
Okay.
For some reason, you know when you just get those like weird bites where you're like, oh, I really want to watch like a movie that you've seen before.
Yeah.
So I was like sitting there and I was like, I really wanted to watch The Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, no. What it was I came home and I was like, I really want to watch Lord of the Rings.
Okay. Because that's one of your favorites.
Yeah. And then I was like, I can't be bothered moving the DVD player out. I'll just see what else is on there. And when you type in, like, I put in sci-fi fantasy.
Yeah.
And it came up with Divergent. And I was like, I haven't seen that in a while. Maybe I'll watch that. There's 3 of those movies.
Yeah.
So I watched the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Then I watched the second one in the same night.
Right.
And then I went to work. And then I came home and I put on the third one. And right. Then after that, I was like, oh, what else can I watch? And I was like, oh, I want to watch The Hunger Games now because I'm in that
thing. Yeah, you're in the dystopian world.
Yeah, yep. So I moved platforms. I went from Netflix to Stan and I watched Hunger Games. So I watched the last Divergent.
Okay.
Then I watched the first Hunger Games.
Right.
Then I watched the second Hunger Games. Okay. This is in one night. Then I went to work the next day. Then I came home and I watched the third Hunger Games and the fourth Hunger Games.
Right.
And then I was like, fuck, what else can I watch? I went to bed.
Right.
And then the next day I hopped back onto Netflix,
mm-hmm.
but I had to use my VPN because Australian Netflix didn't have it. I sound like a lunatic. And I went to, I think it was Taiwanese Netflix, and right. I watched The Maze Runner.
Okay.
1 and 2.
Oh my God.
And then they don't have the third one for some reason.
Oh, interesting.
So then I went to French Netflix and I watched the third Maze Runner, and then I watched The Giver, which is a shit movie.
Okay.
And I had this memory that like it was quite good. And I was like, this was terrible and I hate this. And then I watched Ender's Game.
Right.
And then I watched Ready Player One. This is all yesterday. And then I watched Maze Runner again. And then this morning I finished the second half of the first Maze Runner again. And that's been my life since Wednesday.
Oh. Wow. You've basically done like an international tour of dystopian movies.
Yeah.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I did watch the second Maze Runner today as well.
Oh, okay.
I watched it yesterday, but I watched it today again. Then I'm going to watch the third one tonight and then probably go back to Divergent because I just want to keep watching them. I don't know what it is.
Just keep bouncing through them.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, just keep going until you die.
Yeah, great. I'm fine with that. But I was like, I was even looking at like lists of, you know, other movies that are like this. But like there's something about like the director of Maze Runner is just like, he's so fucking brilliant. And it's so weird because he's only ever directed 3 Maze Runner movies.
Right.
And a couple shorts. But he's doing the next Planet of the Apes. But okay. like, it's just, oh, and I love Dylan O'Brien. He's so cute. But
you heard he was in an accident.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He got run over by one of the cars, which is like the opening scene of the third movie.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what, I think they actually shot it towards the end. I think they did a lot of his stunts where he does them himself towards the end. But I was trying to figure out how it could have happened. And there's a point where he gets out of the car and onto the hood of it while it's chasing a train.
Oh, right.
And I was like, he's fallen off that. And then the car ran him over.
It's probably how it happened.
Yeah. Because that was happening at the same, that was being filmed at the same time as the last season of Teen Wolf. Because there was like a really big point where his character just wasn't really in Teen Wolf because they couldn't push production. Because he was like a co-star, but he wasn't the main star. So they didn't really, they had him be like kidnapped into another world kind of thing. Oh, so they could still do it, but he was in less scenes.
Oh, okay, right.
It was like a parallel plane kind of thing.
Like a scheduling conflict.
Yeah, sort of. Okay. So, well, no, it's because he was in hospital.
Ah, okay.
Because Maze Runner, they were like, well, we'll push it back 6 months. He is our main character. We need him for everything.
Can't do it.
Like, there's barely a scene that he's not in, you know?
Okay.
Whereas with Teen Wolf, he was the best friend of the main character.
Okay.
And he wasn't, like, he was the only, like, human in the thing. So they were like, he can be kidnapped into another plane and then just figure it out at the end.
We'll see when he's better.
So that's what they did.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, because I remember he was getting like super famous, then he just dropped off the face of the planet. And it was like he was actually really injured. And
yeah, so he had like 6 months of intense physical therapy.
Jesus.
And then he was filming probably before he should have been. But he was filming again. But like, oh, it's just, it's so good. He's so good. I love him.
Yeah.
So that's been my week of movies. I just thought that was interesting because it's kind of insane.
A little bit, but like I would expect nothing less from you. Yeah. Like I'm just sitting here, I'm like, yeah, typical week for Ash. Like that, she does shit like that. Like,
well, usually I will be like heavy binge a TV show. And I was like, I just don't want to deal with the short little arcs.
Right. Okay. You're like, I want a full narrative.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm still mad about the fact that I realized that there was meant to be 4 Divergent movies and they just never made the 4th one.
Well, I've seen the first one for sure. I don't know about any of the other ones, but didn't the 3rd one do really badly or something?
Well, I mean, comparatively, sure, it still made like $66 million, but compared to the 150 that the first two made.
Okay. Yeah, because my sister was really into them and I think she said something about they were going to do like a TV movie for the 4th one or something.
Well, what they kind of fucked it up because this isn't a true crime or paranormal podcast anymore. It's film and media with Ashley because she has opinions.
Yeah.
So what happened was they did this with The Hunger Games, worked out really well. They did it with Harry Potter, worked out really well. When they split that last book into two movies, they film it back to back. So it's one shoot. Because nothing's meant to change. It's one story. It's just too long.
Yeah, it's like you can't make someone sit there for 5 hours. Like.
Yeah, so they film it back to back simultaneously at the same time. So they're shooting scenes from the part, let's use Hunger Games, from part two at the same time they're shooting some scenes for part one.
Yeah, because it's the same location, yeah, and same it just cast, gets like, edited. It just makes sense.
Exactly, yeah. And for some reason, they didn't do that with Divergent.
Oops.
So they kind of filmed number 2 and number 3 back to back, but not simultaneously.
Right.
And then when it came to filming number 4, the director was done.
Ah.
Because they waited, like they didn't film it. Then it sort of, it didn't tank, but like it didn't do great.
Okay.
And so they were like, well, let's just not do it. And even if they did think about doing it, the same director wouldn't come back on board.
Okay.
Like, it would have to be a new director.
So it was just a shit show altogether.
Which is fine. Get the director for Maze Runner. He's great.
I feel like this is something you're going to start petitioning for or something.
I just love him so much, and I'm so excited to see the new Planet of the Apes now that I know he's directing it.
Okay.
I wasn't, like, Planet of the Apes is a little bit take it or leave it for me.
Mm-hmm.
The new ones, anyway. Like, I love the old ones, so I'm kind of like a, I guess, I just don't want to ruin anything,
right?
Because the old ones I love, so I'm like, I don't trust it.
Yeah, you're like,
I don't trust new things.
If you're gonna do it, have someone do it really well, okay?
Yeah, or really badly and look exactly the same as the old ones.
Okay.
But yeah, I just realized I've been talking about this for 15 minutes. And I'm so sorry.
This was a deep dive, but it's okay. We go on tangents.
Huh.
You guys know that.
So Yeah, fuck, I don't know. Anyway,
should we do a case?
Yes, we shall. But first off, I just I've written on our on our points list of format warning, which to us means Laura's done a case that she keeps saying is going to fuck us up, and we have a lot to talk about and all that kind of stuff. So it has potential to be a really big part of the episode and potentially the entire episode.
Yes.
So what we're going to do is it's meant to be me going first and then Lou going second, but we're going to let Laura go first and do her case. We'll see how the runtime goes when she's finished and when our brains have exploded. If there's time, I have prepared a story. If not, you guys just will have to fucking wait and hear that. Ooh, and it likely will not be next episode. I'm just going to keep it secret and y'all will forget about it.
Yep.
So, that's our format warning of potentially you get two stories, potentially you get one that's full of rage.
Yeah. My bet's on the second option.
Wonderful.
I'm gonna be real. Yeah. For anyone who follows me on Instagram or follows the podcast, this case shit me off so bad I made a video about it.
I just love the Aussie like most of our listeners are international. And the fact that you just said this case shit me off is really interesting. And I'm curious to see how that is received.
Yeah. It's another way of saying pissed me off, but with the Australian flair that I like to put on.
It's funny because usually if I wasn't just looking at the analytics of the podcast, I would not have picked up on that because that's something Australians don't even blink at.
No, I didn't blink at it before until you picked it up. But, oh, this case, guys.
I'm going to get more cards. Hold on.
Yeah, I might even need a couple. Like,
mine now.
All right, I'll just fidget.
No, fuck, don't touch anything.
Thank you. That's why my friggin' stomach is yelling at me because I'm just so stressed about it.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, this case has taken me the longest to research.
Should I just call this episode Shit Me Off?
Yeah, it's Shit Me Off and it'll shit you off too. To be honest, I apologize if I end up yelling into the microphone. I may have to be picked up on that, but we'll see how we go. So,
if you start yelling, I'm just going to put my hand up and go like this.
That's like in primary
school. Is that something they do? I was thinking about puppets, when puppets close their mouths slowly when something awkward's happened. You know, that little... I know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm thinking of primary school. You know when the teacher's like, bring the noise level down, kids. Like, bring the level down. No, was that... Okay, maybe I was just really noisy in primary school. But anyways.
I just don't think I paid attention.
That could also be true. Okay, so this case, to be honest, I actually debated whether to even cover it because I really...
Is that afterwards or... This after you've written the whole thing?
No, this was about 5 minutes into researching it.
Oh, shit.
because I just, part of me doesn't want to give this woman any more attention than she already has.
Oh, I feel that in my bones. Yeah.
Where I'm just like, you know what, maybe I shouldn't talk about it. But in the end, I did decide to cover it because I think this is a really good reminder about being careful about who you follow on social media, who we idolize, who we look up to, and just maintaining our conscious thought, basically. So that's why I decided to cover it.
I'm already mad.
Yeah. I told you, like, this is why I think it's going to be long. So my stories are usually about 5 to 6 pages when I finish covering them.
Mm-hmm.
This one's only 6 to 7 pages, but I just think we're going to have a lot of rage and things to talk about.
Have a lot of opinions. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm putting a trigger warning on it for talk of suicide. There's a fair bit of that. There's also mention of child abuse, sexual abuse, torture, and mental illnesses.
Oh, sounds like one of my stories.
Yeah. So obviously, if you're sensitive to any of that.
I think it's so... Sorry, I keep interrupting you, but I think it's so sweet that you put like trigger warnings on it for that. But I talk about it every single day and I don't think I've ever said a trigger warning.
I'm a bit of a softie, to be honest. And I'm like, I hate the idea of mentioning something and someone goes, ooh.
But also all I do if I'm not watching series of movies back to back is listen to true crime podcasts. So I guess my brain is just... I think it's just like... It just doesn't register with me anymore.
That's all right.
Which is probably not a good thing.
We're all just desensitized. But anyway, so the big reveal. Today's case is about Teal Swan.
I have no idea who that is.
That's a name.
But that's actually a really cool name.
Yeah. I don't want to say anything about her. It's cool. I hate her.
Did she choose it?
Yeah, she did.
Ah, fuck her then.
Yeah.
That's pretentious. If your parents give you a cool name, then that's cool.
Yeah.
If you give yourself a cool name, you're a dickhead.
She absolutely picked it.
Cool.
Yeah. So we're off to a great start. So the first question is, what or who is Teal Swan?
What?
Yeah. If you want this answered by Teal Swan, she actually has a YouTube channel.
Oh, no.
And she made a 3.5-minute video in 2019 whose title was What/Who is Teal Swan? Yep. Ashley's just staring at me.
I'm like, just trying to refrain from interrupting you too much. So you just tell your story. I'm going to be quiet for a little bit.
Okay.
Unless something's really ridiculous.
So, okay. So one of the reasons...
I'm going to sit back from the microphone and everything.
All right. Take a seat. So one of the reasons why I found this case so hard to research was that I had to watch a number of YouTube videos on her channel. And it just started doing things to my brain. But I'll... This is the first example. So I watched the video, What/Who is Teal Swan? For 3.5 minutes, she waffled on, but here are some key quotes. I am Teal Swan. I have come here to restore the truth by bringing an end to polarity. Balance is the upholder of this corruption of truth.
Oh no.
Yep.
I'm already so mad.
Do you see what I mean? She says if you follow her materials, you can become a third element entirely by eliminating polarity, and that you will find the peace you have been looking for but calling balance.
Hold on, why does she think there are just two elements?
I don't know.
She's not talking about actual elements, is she? Because
no,
there's
she's
lots
not.
Okay.
I don't know.
I was like, cool, she's an idiot.
A big theme of this video is you don't know what she's talking about.
Love it.
Yeah. Okay, so she also says that she has come here to teach integration and restore you to a state of potential, which is all that is left when polarity ceases to exist. She says enlightenment is the integration of shadow and light. It is this split within each human between shadow and light that is the wound, that is the suffering of the human race. She says, I have come here... Yeah, I know.
I've already forgotten half of what the fuck she said.
You see why it was so hard? Like,
I already feel like the next true crime case is going to be about me.
Probably. Yeah, so she says basically within humans there's shadow and light and this polarity is the cause of human suffering. She says, I have come here to mend this wound as I have mended it in me. Because I have mended it in me, I will confuse you. I will not look like what you have been told enlightenment looks like. So if you're confused, she knows it. By accepting me, you will be forced to hold all of your polarities and accept them. I am at the same time egoless and the largest ego that can possibly exist. Which I really agree with the second part of that sentence. So, if you want to know who Teal Swan is without all of the spiritual bullshit, I can tell you that her name is actually Mary Teal Bosworth. She now goes by Teal Swan for the purposes of her newfound career as a personal transformation revolutionary. She also goes...
Rip headphone users for that, Gackle. Sorry. I just seen the spike on the laptop and it's just like bigger than anything.
You're now biting your neck.
Mm-hmm.
She also goes by spiritual leader and influencer. Yep. Along with many other titles, there's just too many to list here. Now, Teal claims that she was born with otherworldly gifts, including being able to see, feel, and hear things from beyond the normal human five senses. She claims that she can see auras and spirits of dead people. She has X-ray vision and is a prophet. Because of these gifts, she was apparently...
Hold on.
Yes.
Did you just say X-ray vision?
I did.
Then almost... You always fucking slip that by me.
She's onto it,
did
guys.
You try and hide that in the middle of the sentence
I did,
in
yes.
case I wouldn't pick it up?
I'm not even done yet.
I was like, I was listening and I was like, yeah, medium, shit, medium. Hold on. Is she Superman? Sorry. Continue.
Is she Superman? We're going to have fun today, guys.
Sneaky bitch.
I just like to test if you're actually listening to me.
I'm never actually listening, but somehow I did hear that.
Somehow that got through. Yes. Let it out.
I'm done.
So, because of these gifts, she was apparently ostracized from a very young age from her Mormon community until a...
There's the problem.
Wait for it.
Okay.
Until a satanic cult leader took particular interest in her and took her under his wing.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Now, okay, bit of serious time. She does claim that from the ages of 6 to 19, she was abused within a satanic cult and was subjected to severe abuse, including rape, torture. She was apparently sewn into a corpse for 12 hours.
How old is she now?
She'd be like 30s or 40s. I don't know.
So this is in like the 80s?
Something or... around then, yeah.
Okay.
She doesn't like to identify as human, but we'll get to that in a second.
Me either, fam.
So yeah, it's a bit hard to find, like...
I just want to find out what year she was born, sorry.
Okay, I think it was...
What's her name? Teal Swan.
Yes, I think it's 1980-something. So yeah, so she was sewn into a corpse, apparently. She witnessed the murders of immigrant children, and did you find it?
1984.
Okay, yeah, I knew it was 80-something. So she witnessed the murders of multiple immigrant children and was psychologically tortured with sick games. One of them was, like... Very Silence of the Lambs, where she would apparently be dropped into a big hole and kind of left there, and it was like a mind game. I don't know. It was also said that she was forced to either witness or participate in bestiality and necrophilia, but these were kind of mentioned on some websites, not all, so I don't know about that part.
Is any of that... Okay. This is where I need to shut the fuck up.
In fact... All of these claims are unsubstantiated.
Okay, cool. That's what I wanted.
Yep. She did go to the police about it. They did research it, but they couldn't find any, if at all, evidence, and no charges were ever filed. So I'm not going to sit here and debate whether it happened or not, because I don't know. None of us knows, but these are just, this is what she claims.
I'm heavily leaning against the satanic cult bit.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I don't believe a whole lot of it, but anyways. apparently at 16, she was also diagnosed with schizophrenia, which, if you think about the timeline, she was in the satanic cult at the time.
That makes sense.
I mean, I don't know how much satanic cults value mental health care, so it's kind of falling apart a little bit for me. But anyways, we're going to move on a little bit. That's just what she says she went through. So after leaving the cult, apparently, Teal has a brief career in modeling and then moves to Costa Rica, where she goes on a shamanic spiritual journey through the jungle. She undergoes cult-specific therapy, which I felt was important to note because... What are you doing?
I'm going to lie down.
Okay. Have a little lie down. So she goes to cult-specific therapy, which I felt was important to note because it's not like she went to see a trauma therapist or a general psychologist. She went to a cult-specific therapist. So that's the only treatment she's ever had. She then...
Is that substantiated? Did she even go there?
I don't know.
Fuck.
This was just what I read. A lot of this is very dodgy, but we'll get to it. She also decides to learn how to harness her otherworldly gifts in a more mature way. So she does some little spiritual work. She starts writing books and decides to set up an international community in Costa Rica, where a number of her followers live with her, which I'm calling cult. I'm just
saying. That's exactly what a cult is.
But she calls it an international
cult community. Specific therapist is just somebody that teaches you how to become a cult leader.
Pretty much. But the best bit, she also claims that she is a sixth dimensional Arcturian alien who was sent through multiple dimensions by beings that specifically designed her to be super attractive.
What's the fifth dimension?
I got no idea.
Fuck. That's the bit I got stuck on. Not the rest of it.
What's the fifth dimension? Yeah. So also with the super attractive bit, it must be noted, she's pretty attractive. She's very tall. She's got a good figure, this like waist length, long hair. She's got bright blue eyes, good like cheekbone structure and everything. So she's attractive. But to sit there and be like, oh, I'm an alien. I was sent here by a committee of aliens to just be super good looking.
It sounds like she needs medication.
She needs a lot of medication. She either needs a lot of medication or to stop taking medication.
She needs to take prescribed medication and stop taking recreational medication. Yep. I'm just going to pause us for a second because okay. I think there's something that I need for this.
Right. Okay, Ashley has just come back with alcohol, so
I need a fucking drink.
Yeah. Not surprised.
Sounded like I broke my hand for a second, didn't it?
It kind of did.
I do have half a cup of coffee that is being foregone.
Okay.
Continue.
Right. Cheers. Alcohol has been gotten, so we're going to continue. So, what does Teal actually teach in her material? And by the way, she refers to it as material or teachings. So, that's what she does.
Okay.
What does she actually teach? Bits of everything, really, because she's apparently an expert on everything. For fun, I went through her entire YouTube channel. I didn't watch all of it because each video averages about half an hour of her just waffling on. But just for fun, I went through her entire YouTube...
Sorry, my brain just went, that's a quarter of one of the Hunger Games.
You could watch four of her videos in the time you watch the Hunger Games.
I'd much rather watch the Hunger Games.
I was about to say,
on repeat for 48 hours straight.
Yeah. Normal. But anyways, just for fun, I went through her YouTube channel and I picked out some titles that stood out to me. Yeah. Get fucking ready. So some titles include, should I get an abortion or keep the baby?
Fucking.
How to lose weight. Psychic vampires.
You've written this particularly to hurt me.
Yeah,
you?
I have. We're also just getting started.
I know.
Yeah. How to get rid of anxiety, a natural cure for anxiety. Not even a technique, a cure.
Dope. Yes, yeah.
Please.
I want that one in the psychic vampires video.
Yeah. Oedipus complex, allergies, what causes them and how to cure them. How to stop cutting, in brackets, self-injury, which also disgusting phrasing, but we're going to move on from that. How to use an orgasm to manifest. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One is simply titled pedophilia. Another one, which this is the most hypocritical title of them all. Authenticity versus just being an asshole. The secret behind all sexual fetishes. Do you need space? If so, you're being inauthentic.
What?
Yep. The volatility and future of cryptocurrency.
Uh-huh.
The problem with diagnosing in the mental health system. School shooters, understanding school shooters and what to do to prevent school shootings. Nice guys finish last. The link between infertility and self-sabotage. How to overcome an eating disorder. She has two videos, one for anorexia and one for bulimia. So if you struggle with those, you just need a 25-minute video from Teal Swan, apparently.
Does she have one for binge eating? Can I watch that and then the vampire one?
Ooh, I'll have to double-check the catalogue.
What about alcoholism?
Oh, yeah, she has one on that. She has another one on how to cure addiction as well. So.
Cheers.
That's yeah.
So that has some
truth. She has another one called Why Haven't I Won the Lottery Yet?
I'm literally screaming into a pillow.
She actually was. Another one is called Understanding Dyslexia and ADHD. They weren't separated. They were one video. Another one is called What is a Spirit Plant and How to Find Your Spirit Plant?
That's my spirit plant.
Oh, yeah.
No, the one that's dying in the back.
Yeah. The one that's going all yellow. Another video is called Chocolate Orange Chia Pudding, Vegan and Sugar Free. How to Get Enlightened, See Yourself as an Ecosystem. How to Heal Family Enmeshment Trauma. And finally, The Orgy Game, which in brackets had personality tests next to it. So, yeah.
This episode is just going to be titled Opinions.
Yeah. So,
I think I'm going to have a stroke.
You actually might.
Does she have a video on that?
Oh, she could. Well, keep in mind, that's just a small fraction of what I found. I just picked out some key ones that jumped out to me. But the thing about her videos, right, is that she has a very specific style in how she does them. The first is her voice, which she speaks in a very calm and very holier-than-thou manner.
That would fucking infuriate me. Mm-hmm. If you do not use inflections,
yep,
or have any kind of emotion, I don't give a shit what the emotion is, but if you don't have any emotion in your voice, I hate you.
Yeah,
I can't handle it.
You're going to hate Teal Swan.
I'm never going to listen to Teal Swan.
I don't think anyone should listen to Teal Swan.
If anyone has listened to that vampire one, please send me a transcript. I'll read it. I just won't listen to it.
I'll do that for you, and that can be your birthday present.
Thank you.
I will watch the video because I watched a few of these and it started doing things to my head. So
I want a word for word transcript, please.
All right, I will do that.
Thank
you. Can you write that down so I don't forget? Okay. Thank you. So yeah, the first thing is her voice, where she speaks in a very sort of hypnotic, very, you know, monotone, very calm, gentle, and
stop
holy.
It.
Okay. So that's how that's
that was annoying me.
It's because it's fucking annoying, but that's how she does every video. And then the way she's put them together, she uses like hypnotic visual techniques. So she has like, you know, zooming through space images, and she has calm ocean backgrounds and
like star swipe
literally, and she has like you know, like stock images that she puts in her videos. Like in one she'll have like someone angrily yelling that flashes up when she talks about yelling, and it's you know what, like I watched a number of these videos because, you know, I want to make sure that I know what I'm talking about. You know, I don't want to just read articles of what people say about it. Like, I went and watched them for myself.
Yeah,
shit show. But like, by the time, you know what the thing is, like obviously I was watching them and they were making me really angry, but at the same time it worked because I could not get it out of my head what she was saying and everything. Like, it's legit hypnotic. But instead of sitting there being like, oh yeah, she made a really good point there, I was like, this bitch is fucking crazy and I can't get it out of my brain.
Oh no.
Yeah, so it does things to you. But
I've met people in real life that are like that. Where you just can't get them out of your head, but I can't get them out of my head because I can't fathom how fucking stupid they are.
Oh yeah, I can relate to that.
Oh.
You're just like, if I could put you down legally, I would.
That's a shit.
Like, not murder. I want to be really clear about that. Like, put down.
No, you're not allowed to clarify.
All right, we'll just keep going then. Okay, so keeping in mind, right, the style of video that I've just described, by far the most horrifying video that she's made, and big ass trigger warning on this one, if you are sensitive to suicidal talk or anything like that, please stop listening. But by far the worst video she's posted is one called What to Do If You Are Suicidal. Yeah. Now, the video that is currently on her channel is not the original. It's an edited version because certain things had to be taken out of it. But don't worry, I found out what was originally in it. So the video basically consists of her sharing her personal tips on what people should do when they feel suicidal. And she claims that she's qualified to do this because she has personal experience with suicide attempts, which, once again, I can't confirm this.
I've been to a doctor before. That doesn't make me one.
Yeah, no shit. But she claims she's had suicide attempts, so she can tell you what it's like and what to do about it.
Is it just take drugs? Because I think that's all she's ever done.
It's not, funnily enough.
Is it travel to the sixth dimension?
It's not, but it's about as useful as that. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, given that she has no qualifications in anything even resembling psychology, most experts have all agreed that her advice is really harmful, funnily enough. So she begins the video by talking about how she's been in psychiatric hospitals before and she's seen psychiatrists.
Oh, shit.
This might be an option for you, but, you know, it's just not going to be a permanent solution. But if you follow her methodology, like, it probably will be. But then later in the video, she also admits that even using her methodology, the thoughts come back, so that's complete shit.
It's a permanent solution because you end up believing all the bullshit and then you're officially crazy and you don't realize it's bad anymore.
Yeah, pretty much. You're like, well, this is normal. So, and this really shit me because she doesn't outwardly...
It shit you off, did it?
So much shit me off. I can't even Anyways.
Can't even shit. It shit me off so shit much.
I can't even describe the shit that has shit me off. But what really annoyed me about this was she wasn't outwardly saying, don't go seek help. In fact, she even starts the video saying, oh, you know, if you're struggling with suicidality, like, go see a doctor. But then she backs it up by saying, you just might not have any help with one, so maybe watch this video instead. Which I'm like, bitch, just fucking stop. So after pretty much discouraging people from seeking psychiatric help, keep in mind this video is directly targeted to suicidal people. It's not for like her followers who want to help others. It's like, it's for suicidal people. So after she does that, so this was in the original version. She refers to suicide as a reset button, which I cannot stress how much it isn't.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, which basically implies, oh, and she also says that it's sometimes the best option.
Good thing I didn't take a sip then. Yep. I would have spit all over both microphones, both laptops and my notes.
Yeah. because that's fucking ridiculous. Reset button implies that if you commit suicide, you can come back and do it again.
It's not the good place.
It's not the good place.
There's no button that just starts everything again.
No, there isn't. Like, if you die,
I mean, it'd be good if there was.
Hell yeah, you could just undo a button all the time. I'd certainly undo things on a daily basis, but anyways.
Like the time the entire pepper cracker went onto your sandwich. Why is that always the first thing I think of when it comes to that?
Because it was a very visual experience.
It was.
I sent you a picture of it.
Physically hurt me inside when that happened.
It hurt me too. I had to re-rinse the lettuce and it was all right, but it was just a lot of pepper. So yeah, those are the, I swear she says sometimes the best option in the second video as well, but I'm not 100% sure. It might've just been in the first one, but I don't know. In the current version that is on her YouTube channel, she also encourages people to view suicide as a constant option. She's like, I want you to remember that you can commit suicide at any time. You can do it tomorrow. You can do it 5 minutes from now, which is just fucking horrible. Like,
I mean, she's not wrong, but also it's not a good way to think about it.
Yeah, she's not wrong. Technically it is, but let's not encourage that because basically...
Let's not remember it.
Yeah, let's not take suicidal people and go, you can literally do it at any time. Like, let's just not doing that. Basically what she says is that you should, you know, think about it like, oh, I'll just do it like 5 minutes from now and then just focus on the 5 minutes in front of your face and then do whatever you want to do to make yourself feel a little bit better and then just keep doing that. Like, forever. Which I'm just like...
That's healthy.
Are you stupid? Like...
I think the answer is yes.
I think the answer is yes. Like, this is horrible advice. You know, absolutely, in management of suicidal thoughts, distraction has a place. It can be really helpful. But don't just keep doing it forever. Like, that's not living.
And maybe aim for longer than 5 minutes.
Exactly. And so that's in her current video. Like, she still says that, and that is still allowed to be on YouTube, which I have a lot of thoughts about that. I'm sure you do too.
There's a lot of things on YouTube that shouldn't be on YouTube.
Oh, absolutely. Now, for the next part of this, this is the big trigger warning. So it's a lot. In the taken down version, and this was the main section that had to be taken out, she encourages suicidal people to lie on the floor and visualize their death in graphic and grisly detail, which is probably the worst advice you could give to a suicidal person. And I'm going to tell you why. So basically her justification for this is that by doing this exercise, you're taking subconscious suicidal ideation, which I've struggled with suicidal thoughts. It's never being subconscious. It's pretty much all I can think about when it's happening. But she's like, oh no, it's all subconscious. So it takes that subconscious ideation, brings it to the conscious mind.
I feel like she's just using big words.
Yeah, she is. This is what I mean. She talks a lot, but none of it actually makes sense. So then she's like, it takes this subconscious ideation, brings it to the conscious mind through deliberate visualization. And then it's like, poof. All your cognitions change and you just don't feel suicidal anymore.
I don't think that's how that works.
No, it doesn't. This is where the yelling comes in. I'm going to tell you exactly why, using science, this is a really bad idea. So the human mind is extremely powerful, and I'll give you an analogy for this same exercise used in a different context. Olympic athletes. they visualize winning the gold medal and smashing their personal bests all day. And it gets them results because all they picture in their brain is winning and doing really well. And it forms neural pathways in your brain for that situation so that your brain goes, oh, actually, I can perform better and I can do better. And you start actually doing it because your brain views this as options now. Another sort of analogy for this as well is a really good anxiety technique, which I do recommend. Okay. So with anxiety, we're always focusing on the worst case scenarios. It's always, what if this goes wrong? What if this happens? What if I don't do this well? You know, blah, 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 blah. A really good anxiety technique is to ask yourself the opposite and say, what if I do really well? So say you have a speech coming up and you're really anxious about it. You're thinking like, what if I forget my words? What if nobody claps for me? What if I pass out? What if blah, 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 blah. If you sit there and go, what if I actually did really well? And you run through that whole scenario in your head and you picture going up on stage and delivering your speech perfectly and everybody claps for you, that's going to A, improve your confidence because you now have a new scenario for your brain to work with. All those pathways are going to be laid down and you're going to have more confidence and less anxiety when you go to that scenario because you've basically rehearsed it. And your brain can be like, oh, I've seen this before. I know how to respond to it. Now take it back to what Teal Swan is telling suicidal people to do. She's telling them to lie on the floor and view their death in grisly detail. This is rehearsing it. People who are suicidal will then take that scenario and be like, oh, I'm not afraid to die now. I've seen it before. Like, yeah, this is an option for me. This is something I can actually do. It's just one of the worst things you could ever tell them to do.
Oh, Jesus.
And this was up for a long time. And unfortunately, like, the reason, another, like, yet another big reason why this is so horrifying is because Teal herself freely admits that her following are incredibly vulnerable people. In interviews, she's even referred to them as unstable people and orphans.
So she... Okay, hold on.
Yes. What?
I have an issue with the orphans thing.
Yep.
How does she know that? That's okay. Not an analytic button you can see on YouTube.
Well, yeah. So she basically says that her orphans are people who don't fit in anywhere else because they're capable of higher thinking.
Okay. So not actual orphans.
Not actual
that
orphans.
That was confusing
no.
for a second.
Metaphorical orphans.
Right.
But still that vulnerable community idea.
And two.
Yes.
What? Why is she proud of that? Why is that? I feel like that.
She's the leader of the vulnerable. She can fix their lives because she's this
higher
being.
Then they wouldn't need her.
No, pretty much. She's an exploiter of the weak.
I have an issue with her business model.
I have an issue with almost everything she does. But no, like, what frightens me is she freely admits it. She's like, yeah, I basically appeal to vulnerable people and I'm going to exploit them as much as I want. But the really, truly tragic part is that a number of people have actually committed suicide and they've been directly linked to Teal Swan and her following. They've been in her Facebook group. They've been devoted to her. They've been posting like artworks on their Instagram accounts. Back a couple of years ago, I couldn't find the exact year, but there was actually a teenager who tragically took her own life and they actually took down Teal's Facebook group, which Good. Was moderated by her people. And from all reports, that, you know, sometimes you see online groups that are like support groups and everyone sort of posts helpful resources and doctor recommendations and helpful strategies.
Mm-hmm.
Funnily enough, this is not what that group was.
Mm.
Basically, what would happen is people would post graphic posts about how they wanted to commit suicide. They would sort of share tips. And when someone reached out for help, they would send Teal's videos. So that's basically what it was.
Watch this. You'll definitely want to do it afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, okay, great. So, yeah, the original group got taken down, but they put up another one. There's another group out there. And it's just people are literally dying. And when Teal gets questioned on this, she's like, oh, the fact that people think I'm responsible for it is hilarious. She literally says that. And it's just like, what is wrong with you? Like, you admit that you are a leader for these sorts of people and yet you're exploiting them and encouraging them not to seek help. Like, are you serious?
Wow.
You don't know what you're talking about. Now, in this video, if you were curious about what advice she does actually offer, don't worry. She actually offers some quote unquote helpful advice. It's not helpful at all. In her video, Till recommends that you can subscribe to her newsletter, where she has a number of people who have just completed her completion process practitioner training.
Bless you.
Which basically means that these people have paid $2,000 to go do training on Till's methodology, and they're there to help you through your suicidality. So okay. You can find them on her newsletter. Throughout the video as well, this is the one, the suicidal thoughts video, she recommends 8 different videos of hers by name that you can go watch that are going to help. Some of the titles include What to Do If You Feel Hopeless, Self-Soothing Process, How to Feel Better, How to Raise Your Frequency and Increase Your Vibration. Yeah. Today's Great Epidemic and How to Solve It. It wasn't about COVID. I checked. The Emotional Wake-Up Call, How to Heal the Emotional Body, and one that is simply called Nervous Breakdown. So yeah, guys, a lot of good resources that don't go watch them. Just don't. It's not
I really
helpful.
Wish that the one called Nervous Breakdown was just about her having a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, just her sitting there being...
It's just a video of her having a nervous breakdown.
Just her crying.
No, helpful. Yeah.
That would make me really happy. So to be honest, like, that's about as much detail as I want to go into that. It's just, it's horrible. And I want to put this in. I think it's really important. If this section of the video has stirred up anything for you, if you're worried about anybody, if anyone out there is struggling with this sorts of stuff, speak to someone who knows what they're talking about.
Hmm.
Go see a medical professional, see a therapist, talk to a friend, a family member, someone you can trust. And if you don't have anyone to talk to, in Australia, you can call Lifeline, which the number is 13 11 14. If you're overseas, you will have similar services. You can look them up. Just please, please, please talk to someone.
Even just talk to your GP.
Literally, book a GP appointment and go and say, I feel like shit. And they'll be like, tell me about it. They're really good. I mean, I've done it. You know. Don't listen to shitty people on the internet.
Yeah.
So, we're going to move on a little bit because I could just rage about that forever. So... By now, we're all probably sitting here being like, yeah, Till Swan is a cult leader and she runs a cult. Think it's pretty clear. No, no, no. Till Swan has actually made a video called Is Till Swan an Online Cult or Not? And she's put it all to rest, guys. Like, she sorted it all out. I know. Laughable. So, to be honest, I was going to rip this video to shreds, but it was just very boring because basically she took... I think it was about 13 criteria from these scientists who study cults, and they were like, oh, here's how you identify a cult. And basically she went through all of them. And if I could sum up this video in one word, it would be reframing. Because she, yep, she basically takes everything she does and then reframes it so that it doesn't fit the criteria. And I'll give you an example. So one of the criteria outlined by these scientists is that the cult will put in efforts to recruit new members, right? Like, you see it with the Manson family, you see it with pretty much every damn cult you ever see. So Till sits there and she says, oh my God, no, like, we don't put in any efforts to get new members. We'll just ignore her Instagram account, her website, her Facebook group, her every social media that she's on, her live events, her public speaking, her retreats, everything else she does.
She has retreats?
She has retreats. And she says, she's like, I don't put in any efforts to get new members, but if my followers like to share my materials because they're just so wonderful, that's not my fault. She then says, when the material is of such high value, how could it not recruit more people?
I don't think your YouTube videos have been called high value, but okay.
Yeah, pretty much. Also, this woman's a freaking flu banana, but
that's a new one.
Have you not heard that before?
I don't think I've heard you say it.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I've heard it been said by anybody.
I've been saving it for her specifically.
Perfect.
She then, you'll really like this. My favorite part of the video is where she says, I am a personal transformation revolutionary. I am not a cult leader.
Hmm.
She then goes on to say, Till Tribe, which is the name of her followers, is a shared personal growth community based on the information and material I create. Not a cult.
Okay, sure.
Doesn't that just scream cult to you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, oh my God. She then pretty much, apart from just lying her ass off for the whole video, she then likes to include a lot of gaslighting for anyone who questions her. So she starts the video by saying, like, one of the first sentences she says, she's like, anyone who accuses me of being a cult or being a cult leader is paranoid. She says, people who say the word cult use it as a catch-all term. They don't actually know what they're saying when they say it. Then she talks about how cult used to just mean strong religious devotion.
Wasn't she saying she was kidnapped by a satanic cult?
Yeah.
Okay. I just needed to clarify that.
Yep. And then she decides to finish the video by saying, anyone who questions whether I'm a cult leader or that I run a cult needs to ask themselves two key questions. Why don't I trust myself? And why am I afraid that I can be influenced into losing my free will?
The answer is I do trust myself. I'm not afraid of that. I just know that there are people out there that might be stupid enough to do it.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of losing my free will because I think you're an absolute crackpot and I think you need to be stopped. Like, that says free will to me.
I love the word crackpot.
It's just great. I'm being a little bit petty and I am calling her names, but it's because I've had a lot of rage for the last 3 days.
Laura doesn't drink.
I don't drink. Well, I have to drive home. I drink a little bit, but I just can't handle it.
Yeah.
I'm a severe lightweight, guys.
She's very little.
It's bad. Like, 2 cruises and I'm wasted bad. Like, it's very embarrassing. Okay, so for me... Okay, a lot of this screamed cult leader to me, but there was one video in particular that I watched that just really solidified it for me. And this was a video called Why Do People Hate Teal Swan?
Wait, this is her own video?
This is her own video.
Okay.
This is a video that she decided to make, which...
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So basically, this is a 17 and a half minute video where she largely waffles on for about 16 minutes about things she doesn't understand. About the universe and okay, so she believes that she is a mirror, and this is a moniker that she has. I'll explain.
She's it. A lot of things.
Yeah, oh my God, the number of bloody titles she goes by, I can't even keep them straight in my head. But she believes that she's a mirror for society, and basically what people see in her is a reflection of what their fault is, basically. So one example was something along the lines of like, if someone is... Yes.
No, it's just very funny.
It's hilarious. But it was something like if someone is closeted, so like an LGBTQIA plus person is in the closet, they're going to look at Teal and they're going to say that she flaunts her sexuality. Yeah.
Okay.
That was just one example. I honestly cannot remember the rest because I think I'm starting to block it out. But so basically she was talking about this theory where she was like, you know, oh, humans have this concept of the law of attraction, but they don't really understand what it is. It's kind of the human term for it. But basically, the universe and how it is, you know, we are polarity and we are, you know, source energy. But then the world has a 360 degree mirror reflection and it reflects what we put out into it. Yeah.
Okay.
She went on about shit like this for 16 minutes. And then
I can't say anything to half of this except for okay. I just...
Literally, you listen to it and you're like, you're saying words, but they don't make sense when you put them together how you're putting them together. It just, it's spiritual nonsense. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But in this video, after 16 minutes when she finally gets to the point, she says, those people who dedicate their lives to hating me are those who hate themselves the most, but are currently denying the fact that they hate themselves.
Yeah. I hate you and I'm fully aware that I hate myself. Don't you worry about it.
Oh yeah, don't worry about that. She then goes on to say, those who love me the most to the point that they have dedicated themselves to my mission are also usually the ones who hate themselves the most, but who are not denying it at all. What they are denying is their own goodness, and this is inevitably what they see in me.
Okay.
What?
I just can't.
Literally.
I understand jellyfish more than I do this woman.
Literally. And no one knows what jellyfish are doing. I just... My favorite part of that is just how she genuinely admits that her followers hate themselves. Which I completely agree with. I think you have to hate yourself a lot to go follow Teal Swan's teachings and think it's a good idea. I just... I can't. Some other highlights in this video included that she speaks in third person a fair bit. Because of course she does. She claims that people who don't follow her aren't ready to face their societal programming. Which, like, if that's not cult language, like, what is? She also states, I am here to change the way humans have thought for thousands of years, and very few will get it at first.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, okay, I don't...
I just want to pat her on the head. I just want to tell her that she'll be okay one day.
I just want to smack her with a 2x4, so I think that one, I think yours is a lot nicer.
I just feel like there's, like... I feel like your rage is directed at, like, you're really hoping that she'll see that one day she's an idiot, but I think I've already surpassed that, and I've just accepted that she's never gonna be okay.
She's just not okay. I do agree with that. She's not okay. She also believes that integration of good and evil is the only way to enlightenment, and she's the only one that can do that for you because she is the embodiment of source. Or universal energy.
Why did I just...
Where did you go with that?
Tomato sauce.
She's a saucy gal. Oh, God.
I just pictured a person in the shape of a tomato sauce bottle. Sorry. I've also just decided that the first chance I get picking a research topic or, like, a paper topic for my psych classes. Can somebody please tweet at me that to do this?
Oh, I'll remind you.
Thanks.
Just be like, oh, I have to do, like, a psych project profile on someone. Fucking Teal Swan.
Yeah, please go remind me because I want to have a stroke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've had, like, 4 just, like, the past 2 days. Okay, so... Something really interesting that I found while I was researching was that I found a really interesting article where the authors had actually interviewed Teal, like they met her and they ran an interview. But at the end of it, she kind of ended up threatening the authors about the release of the story, which I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. So I'm going to tell you what happened. So in 2017, there was a journalist by the name of Addison Nugent and her assistant was named Derek. I don't have a last name.
Okay.
I just know it was Derek.
Mm-hmm.
So they arranged an interview with Teal at a hotel in France because she was there for some reason. During the interview, understandably, because they're journalists, they raised some topics with Teal that she seemed to not like very much because they kind of questioned her. So some of the topics were things like asking about her book, The Completion Process, which this refers back to the completion process practitioners that I talked about before. But basically... Teal believes that every human on the planet has post-traumatic stress disorder, which, like, fucking rude to people like me who actually have it. But she believes that because of this deep wound from our polarity in the light and dark, we all have PTSD. And so she's written this book about how to heal that using her materials.
Why does that feel like it's a rip-off of Catholicism a little bit?
Because it basically is.
Okay.
She does talk about Jesus, but then she kind of will talk about the universe in the same breath, and I'm just like, I don't even know what your ideology is. Like, she's basically just making...
Where are you going with this?
Literally, the whole time you're just like, are you Christian? Are you spiritual? Like, I just... You don't have a cohesive...
She's an alien. She told you this earlier.
I'm sorry. I just...
She's in the extra dimension. She skipped one, but she's still there.
She's in the 6th one and hasn't told us what the 5th one is yet. But anyways.
The 5th dimension is just cheese.
Can I go there?
Yes. But come back before you reach number 6. It's obviously a very bad place to go.
Yeah, if that's where she came from, I don't want to go there. but yeah, so that's basically what the completion process is. So obviously the journalists were asking her about that. They were obviously asking her about her personal stance on suicide following all the shit she's done to people. And it just things of that nature, just asking questions basically. They weren't even going there being like, so you've killed a bunch of people. Do you want to tell us about that? Like they were just genuinely asking her opinions on stuff. Wow. Yeah, so actually, I was going to put this in, but I took it out, but I'm going to put it in anyway. These journalists, one of the things they talked about was how she entered the room. So they met her in the lobby and they did their formal introductions and they sort of like shook her hand and, you know, it was all really normal. And she was there with her husband, I think, as well. And then they go up to Teal's hotel room and this is where they do the interview. But then she comes out and she's now dressed in a floor length, like blue flowy gown. She crawls onto the bed like a child and then starts swinging her legs off the end. And she's talking in like this soft little muted voice all of a sudden. But she didn't do any of that in the lobby, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah. Do with that what you will. But, yeah, so basically they do this interview and then the interview kind of finishes and then Addison and Derek, they're on the train going wherever they're going from the hotel. So they're leaving. And they notice that Teal has already made a post on her blog about the interview. In this post, she says, "There are two different styles of interview. One is supportive and the other is antagonistic. Unlike a supportive interview, which is set up to make you look good, the antagonistic interviewer is already biased against you and is simply setting up the interview as a trap to make you look bad and to make them feel personally validated." She also notes that the interview left her feeling targeted.
She sounds petty as fuck.
Abso-friggin-lutely. Like, I love that quote because she's like, there's two kinds. There's the kind that I've set up to deliberately make me look good, and then there's everything else which is antagonistic. And it's just like, bitch, you can't handle criticism, which is like cult leader. Now, the author of the article obviously didn't love this, but she published it anyway, which, like, girl boss. But she started to, in her article at the end of it, she reflects on something that Teal said during the interview, which was, "For somebody who's never had a sense of belonging, Teal Tribe becomes their new family, which works well until the minute someone has a falling out with me. If anyone has an issue with me, turning against me, they stand to lose all the people they're really close to."
Okay.
Wow. Just wow. That's all I have to say.
I literally can't say anything other than okay. Just, yeah.
You're never going to argue with her. Like, we know that. But it's just, keep in mind, this is not a past tense case. Like, I talk about cases from, like, the 1800s.
It's just so ridiculously unfathomable to me that people are like this.
She has a huge following, like millions of views.
I totally get, this is gonna sound like weird, but I just don't know how to frame it because my brain hurts.
Yeah,
but I totally understand people that do this shit to be controversial.
Yes,
because they want, but it sounds like she has such a conviction,
yeah,
that I feel like part of my brain is missing thinking about it.
Literally, that's what it's like to think about it, because you're like, she believes this wholeheartedly and so many people believe it wholeheartedly as well. Like, there are so many testimonials from people.
I just I just can't.
Yeah, literally. Try watching some of her YouTube videos. You just watch it, you're like,
I feel bad because these people are obviously like you said before, they're vulnerable, they're being taken advantage of, but like just doesn't feel like that is something that should be possible.
This is my whole thing with it. Like, she is targeting vulnerable people who are looking for any kind of answer. And she's presenting herself as this, like, you know, fantastic being from another world that is so enlightened that she can fix anybody.
I just can't imagine being in the in any sort of situation where any of this sounds like a real fucking thing.
Exactly. Huh. I mean, it's so funny, it's so sad at the same time. Like, it is so sad that there are people who fork out so much money to go see her, to follow her material, to do this kind of shit. Like, it's criminal, really. Like, she should be pressed with charges of something. But it's just, she's allowed to keep going, and she's still doing it. I mean, what was really fucked up was that I did my research on this case. So I was reading articles, I was on her YouTube channel. All of my socials are now giving me ads for her programs.
Oh, you should have been on incognito mode.
I should have, but I wasn't. My bad. But, like, I'm scrolling on Facebook. And
If I ever look at cult stuff, because I do that sometimes. If I ever look at cult stuff, only ever incognito mode. Like, when we had Victoria on as a guest, and she was talking about lizard people, and David Icke?
Yeah.
Ikey? No, I can't remember. I feel like it's Icke. When we were looking, we went onto his website and had a look at his merch
Oh, no.
And his shop. And I made V change her laptop to incognito mode because I was like, I don't want you getting ads for this shit. I don't want either of us getting ads for this.
Yeah.
So incognito mode while we browse that.
See, I did it on my phone when I was Googling stuff for this case on my phone. I was like, oh, I'm going to use private browser right now. Didn't do it on my laptop. And now it's on my Facebook. It's on my Instagram. It's coming up with her programs. I'm seeing her face everywhere. And I actually went on her Instagram as well to have a look. I didn't follow her. I did that very deliberately. Actually, I swiped back to leave.
Should I make the podcast account follow her and she'll see this?
Can we actually?
I might tag her in the post.
Oh, that's so petty. But I just, you need to be stopped. Honestly, that's a direct call out. But no, so I went and had a look on her Instagram just to see what it was like. And she's playing up into the whole Instagram thing. Like, she has professionally taken photos. She has quotes from herself on it. She has recipes that she's done. It's all very aesthetically pleasing. And then she does sort of updates where she'll talk about what she's doing in her programs and, you know, just her daily advice. One of my favorites was that during the COVID crisis, she did a video and she was like, I thought I would just let you guys know that the vibrations for today are nothing but joy. So just embrace that. Just be open to that.
Is she a meteorologist?
Apparently.
What's the earthquake scientist called? Earth vibrating, we should know. What is it, a two?
Yeah, I don't know what vibrations she's picking up, but they were wrong. But it's so much shit. And the last point that I wanted to put in here, because I did want to finish on a bit of a lighter note. Like, we've talked on some pretty heavy shit. But to end this story, I wanted to let you know just how much money this spiritual catalyst makes.
Oh, this is the best bit.
Yeah. So not only does she run a for-profit company called TLI, which funnels out money from everything, comes all through it. She sells frequency artworks, tarot cards, online courses, $2,000.
I thought you said corsets. Sorry.
Honestly, like, she might. $2,000 training packages to become a certified completion process practitioner. She sells merchandise, which includes t-shirts, shoes. I think I saw towels on there. Just everything you can think of.
Cult towels, good.
Yep. She sells meditation videos. She sells regular content videos that just aren't on her YouTube. There's a bunch of those.
Imagine if it's just a compilation of their YouTube videos.
Honestly, because I refuse to give
her... But it's in a box. It's in a box.
Yeah, so. It's like, it's in a box and you get it thrown at you. Yeah, honestly, I don't even know what the videos are because I refuse to give her a cent. But she also sells, like, retreats and public speaking events and books and just a whole lot more shit. She sells everything. My personal favorite thing that she sells, right, are her frequency onesies for adults.
Fuck yeah.
Yep. They supposedly raise your frequencies for different things depending which print you actually buy.
Were they made out of, like, radios? What?
No, so frequency paintings are like, they just look like shitty paintings with, like, lots of colors and geometric patterns, but it's like, it's a particular frequency, so it's going to raise it if you have it in your home.
Okay.
Yep. So some of the onesies you can get are for, like, empowerment or self-esteem or the creative process or joy. But
some real cult shit, I guess.
Yeah, but the best part is that the onesies retail for up to $120 US each.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Another one which I was going to mention, which I'm going to mention it anyway, she has a pair of, like, high-top sneakers, which, again, have the frequency designs on them. There's one for, like, financial gain. So that's the frequency it's on. It costs $100 US. So apparently you can buy sneakers that are going to, you know, give you more money, but you just have to spend $100 first.
Cheaper than a pair of Yeezys.
This is true. This is true.
That's another cult.
That's another cult. Ever since he started running it like a church, I've just been really worried about it. Like, I am.
I never, ever, ever want to talk about Kanye West on this podcast or ever again in my life.
We'll just go back to Teal Swan then.
Yeah, let's do that.
So that's all that I've formally written about her. Honestly, I found it hard to stop. There was just so much shit that I was angry about and so much shit that I was like, how can this be allowed to happen?
I want to know more about the satanic cult.
Exactly. Like, which cult was it? Who was this dude? Like, you spent a number of years...
Is it real or was it just your mum telling you you had to do the dishes?
Yeah. Or did you just kind of decide that you wanted to be a spiritual leader at some point and you created some bullshit story?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just, like, all just, I've got okay. is okay. That's okay. all I've got. Okay.
Yeah, it's just, it's just frightening.
I feel like I want to write in, like, rainbow sort of cursive writing. Okay.
Okay.
I just.
It just breaks your brain a little bit. You're just like, this happens. She has a big following. People love her events.
I'd really love to see an MRI of her brain. See if there's anything different going on in there.
Oh, I hope so. I hope there is something.
You know how
weird.
You would wish, like sometimes people wish that they could just live in someone else's life for a day. Yeah. I don't want to live in her life. I just want to like witness her thoughts on the inside for a little bit.
Yeah, just be like a fly on the wall. Just
yeah.
Like, what you thinking,
girl? I just want to know if she really believes it.
See, that's what I want to know. Like, she is so pompous and she is so self-assured. I feel like she might. But then I also have this other idea where maybe she goes inside her big house on her compound and she sort of takes off the dress, throws on, like, some trackies and a hoodie and just goes, oh, thank fuck, I cannot talk about that shit anymore. Which I'm like, what if that's what it's like? Which, like, that makes it so much worse, I think. Because, like, that means that she is, like, self-aware and she knows what she's doing and she knows the harm that she's doing to people.
See, I kind of feel the opposite. I feel like it's worse if she's not self-aware that she's insane.
Oh, see, no.
If she's self-aware, then she's just a vindictive, like, she's just a monster. If she's not self-aware, it's like John List.
Okay,
it's exactly the same. If she's self-aware, to me anyway, if she's self-aware that she's purposefully making this cult and fucking all these people up, that to me, it's not like worse on a morality sense, but it just that means that she's just found another way to hurt people. Like she's essentially like a serial killer monster, but just in a different way.
Yeah,
whereas if she's not aware and she genuinely thinks she's doing this, that to me makes her so much more dangerous, because she thinks she's doing the right thing.
That's true. That's a good point, actually.
This is why this fucks up my brain so much. Because monsters exist. Like, people are evil.
Friggin' everywhere.
I get that.
Yeah.
But it's the people that are genuinely convinced that they're doing the right thing and it's definitely not is just so much scarier to me.
Well, I mean, I keep comparing her to Charles Manson, but, like, for very good reasons. But, I mean, he's still in prison today thinking he did a great thing. He's like, you know, I saved those people and we were a family. And it's like, dude, really? You fucking killed people. Like,
it's a whole nother, like, level of messed up.
Yeah. And there's kind of no limits to that.
And there's no, like, accountability. Like, they genuinely will believe for the rest of their life that they were doing the right thing and they genuinely believe this. Whereas... If it's like a vindictive, like targeted on purpose, they're putting it on.
Yeah.
To me, I'm not saying that it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's just.
It's more contained. Like, you
know. It feels more understandable.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing it because they're evil and they're not doing it because they're just. My brain hurts.
Yeah. Mine hurts too. There's so many emotions. Like, you're like laughing at it because it's so crazy.
Yeah.
You're so sad because people actually believe this. You're frightened because you just have no idea how far this is going to go.
That's it. That's what it is. It's being terrified because it just doesn't make sense. Like, it just, you can't comprehend that makes sense to somebody.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Like, the fact that there is a number of people who look at this shit and go, yeah, makes perfect sense to me. This is now my life.
And the fact that she's come up with it as well. Yeah. And she goes, yes, I'm having a sense of self and purpose so grand that that's where you go with it. Just seems so much more dangerous than just being a vindictive, evil person doing it for money.
Oh my God, yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like...
That's where my brain goes with that.
Yeah, it reminds me of
That's why I want to see inside her mind.
Yeah, if we could just crack it open for a bit, have a listen, see what's going on.
Have a listen! Why is that so funny?
Because it's funny. No, but see, what I'm thinking about now is, you know, and this is on a much smaller scale, but you know on Dr. Phil when there's people that are like, oh, the Russians are bugging my house and like I'm being poisoned with gas all the time. And he just turns to them and goes, what makes you so important? Why do you think people want to do that to you? And they just sit there and they're like, oh, no, I'm no important. But he's like, no, why are the Russians specifically targeting you, some middle-aged woman from, like, some state in the US? It's just like, oh, well, I don't know. That's what I want to ask her. Like, why are you so important that this stuff is all
the problem is
you?
That she will have a fucking answer.
She will, and I want to know what it is.
Excuse me, we have questions.
Yeah. Hey, if you want, if she happens to see this video and wants to talk to us, we have some questions.
It's not a video, but I understand what you meant.
Oh, yeah.
This is a podcast.
I feel like after what, like,
it's because you've been,
how many episodes have we done now?
This is episode 20.
Yeah, I feel like after 20 episodes, I would have gotten that in my head by now, but apparently not.
No, it's fine.
A few more years, then maybe I'll get it in my head.
Eventually, by then, it will be a video.
Well, I think it needs to be offset because, like, I have, you know, like, a few years experience of doing, like, you know, shows and filming things. So I'm like, once that's offset by the podcast, I'll get it adjusted in my head.
Yeah. And yep. Then everything will only ever be a podcast and you'll forget people can see you.
Yeah. Then I'll be like, I'll be like standing in front of a camera and just like, you know, just
that's
like
when you rock up in your tracky pants and your crop top and you burp into the microphone.
And I'm just like, yeah, we're ready to go. They're like, why the fuck aren't you looking?
Just be like,
pretty?
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Just be like, this is a theater show. What are you doing?
Yeah. It's like, no, you have to look presentable for this. It's like, oh, okay.
Oops. Try again tomorrow.
Like, oh, sorry guys. All right, we'll just call this day a write off. I'll try again next week. But yeah, so that's Teal Swan.
Thanks, I hate it. It sucks because I have to hear this again when I edit it.
I know. Oh, I'm so happy I don't edit.
So we're at an hour and 22 minutes recording time.
Okay.
Kind of want to do my story, but I don't know if I should. What do you think?
Do it.
So
yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna do the story because I don't want to think about that anymore, and I don't think any I don't want our listeners, our lovely little obsessed family, I don't want them to have that in their brain when they leave this episode.
I could not agree more.
Because fuck you.
Yeah, I'm not even going to argue with it. Let's do your story.
Okay, so this is the story of Daniel Keener and Daniel Zapp.
Oh.
Which, what a cool fucking last name.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, freshman year, 1999, Daniel Keener and Daniel Zapp are introduced by a mutual friend. Mm-hmm. Danny is a freshman at Susquehanna University. I've written down the phonetic pronunciation because fucking hell. And Dan is a freshman at Carnegie. Mm-hmm. So, the two go on a dinner date where they spend the entire night engrossed in conversation. There's definitely chemistry between the two and they agree to a second date. January 8th, 2000, Danny and Dan are at the York Marina. So, this is in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. During their conversation, they notice a red truck pull up close to their spot at the marina. A man gets out of the truck and he lets his dog out. The dog, a large black Rottweiler, is running around playing in the water. The man in the truck approaches Danny and Dan and begins to talk to them. The conversation ends with the man asking if they needed a ride home. Seeing as the two actually drove there and were still in the middle of their date, they declined the ride and the man drives away. So Danny and Dan went to continue their walk when the red truck appears to turn around and block their path.
Uh-oh.
The man gets out of the car holding a gun.
Oh, God.
The man, described as white, 35 to 45 years old, blonde and very drunk, forces the two into the car. Dan offers his wallet, his car, the laptop that was in the car, and anything he can think of.
Mm.
The man refuses.
Uh-oh.
Danny is told to sit in the front passenger seat, and Dan is forced into the back of the cab with the dog. The kidnapper drives the two for what feels like hours, and the teens plead with him, saying they'll do anything if he just lets them go. Eventually, the truck pulls off onto a dirt road by the Susquehanna River.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I wrote down the pronunciation, just in case I'd forget. I don't even know if that's right. So, sorry.
That's what we're going with.
Yeah. The three exit the truck and are standing by the river. The man begins pacing back and forth, saying things like, "You've seen my face now, what are we going to do?" All the while shooting his gun off into the river between sentences. So this motherfucker's completely unhinged.
That's terrifying.
The man forces Danny and Dan back into the truck, into the same spots they were before. Dan in the back, Danny in the front. He forces Dan to get down in the back of the vehicle, points the gun at Danny and assaults her. Not wanting to bring any harm to Dan, Danny complies. After the rape, the man tells the couple to get out and walk towards the river.
Mm-hmm.
As they are walking away, leaning on one another, the gun goes off and Dan goes down. Blood's pouring out of his mouth and Danny leans down to try to help him when she is also shot. The shooter, after shooting both of his victims in the neck and head, rolls their bodies into the freezing river. He waits a minute for them to begin to float away and he drives off. What the shooter doesn't know is that both Danny and Dan are alive.
I was so sad and now I'm less sad.
Hitting the freezing water, Danny is totally numb. She feels pressure in her head, her mouth is full of blood and bone and even a bullet, but she is still alive.
Oh my God.
Dan can barely speak, his windpipe has been pierced, his vocal cords nicked, but the two manage to brush past each other and take hold. They see the man waiting on the bank, and Dan tells Danny to wait him out and he will leave. The two play dead and the shooter leaves.
Fucking smart people.
Their attacker has taken off. After their attacker has taken off, Dan grabs Danny, who is in major shock. Both are bleeding profusely and they start to swim.
Mm-hmm.
Not far down the river, Pete Prowell, a duck hunter, spots the two in the water. He goes in and Dan is able to reach his hand out to him. Pete brings the two to shore. He flags down another vehicle and the two are taken to the hospital.
Damn.
Danny's jaw has essentially been blown apart. Her Holy tongue shit. Is nearly severed and her face is swollen to nearly the size of a bowling ball, according to her doctors. Whoa. Just think about that for a second.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, I'm just thinking the freezing water probably would have helped them.
In my head, I'm thinking it slowed down their heart rate and slowed the bleeding.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, and shocked their system enough to wake them up instead of just passing out.
Yeah.
Because I wonder, in my head, I wonder if he'd left them on that bank, they would have just bled out and died.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The ambient temperature could not have been that cold.
Yeah.
But because they were in the water, and it, plus, I mean, isn't it, no, I don't know if that's true, so I'm not going to go into it. But yeah, 100% that cold temperature would have slowed their blood flow. It would have...
And shocked them enough to wake up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Danny is placed into a medically induced coma to help with her stabilization. Dan was shot behind his ear. The bullet traveled through his windpipe and out through his cheek.
Oh.
So it actually ricocheted off his jaw. So it's gone... Where... Which it's a podcast. It's an audio format that Laura and I are pointing to our faces.
We're trying to figure out trajectory.
So
here.
It's come in. I saw the pictures. It's come in just behind. So if you feel behind your ear, you can sort of feel where the base of your skull is. Oh, it's gone in that way, down a little bit, plucked his windpipe, nicked his vocal cords, ricocheted off the bottom of his jaw and gone out up through his cheek.
What?
Yeah.
That's like a once in a lifetime shot.
Whew, yeah. Doctors were worried that a stray bone fragment could pierce an artery in his neck that could eventually lead to a stroke.
Yeah, shit.
But he is stable.
Okay.
While the two are receiving emergency care to stabilize them, detectives go on a search for the crime scene. Because they don't have a crime scene. They just found where they found him in the river. So for all they know, it could be fucking miles up the other end.
Yeah, and they both got their jaws blown apart. So like,
yeah.
They can't exactly
So they them. Start working from where the duck hunter picked them up. Mm-hmm. They know it has to be upstream from where they were pulled out.
Yeah.
And it could be on either side of the river. Walking shoulder to shoulder, all the officers, within a few hundred yards of their rescue point, Police Chief Daryl Albright comes across a large pool of blood and multiple 9mm shell casings. And they have their crime scene.
Damn.
So it was so close.
Damn. They're being looked after, these two.
Yeah. Since Danny is in a medically induced coma, detectives are only able to interview Dan, who can't speak, essentially. Any movement Dan makes causes him incredible pain, but Dan is so eager to help that he writes down everything that happened to them the day before. So Dan. This is the next day, and he's, you can see pictures of his statement of account kind of thing of what happened. And it's just, like, just thinking about the fact that that's just happened to him and he's writing it all down.
Oh, my God. I'm so impressed right now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God.
Dan amazingly remembers almost everything about their attacker. Like, I'm just, this boy, I'm so proud of him. Yep. Like,
if I could go find him and, like, shake his hand, I would.
Mm. So, he describes their attacker. He had a brown hat, blue jeans, black Nike high-top sneakers. He describes the weapon as a black semi-automatic pistol and the dog, of course, this black right-wheeler. The dog, he remembers, is named Sam.
Shit.
Dan is able to provide police with information about the vehicle. It's a beat up red pickup truck with a white or grey cap. He even describes item in the back to include a toolbox and an aluminum baseball bat. Right?
That's all I have to say.
This description goes out to all local law enforcement and a few names come up, one of which is William Babner. Babner is known in the area for infringements with alcohol, domestic violence, fights with others, and he has a Rottweiler.
Fits the profile.
Detectives present Dan with a photo lineup. One at a time, they place pictures in front of Dan. The moment they place Babner's picture down in front of Dan, his eye widens. Ooh. I say eye because one of them was still swollen shut.
Oh, Dan.
Still unable to speak, Dan is just hitting the picture over and over again. So they now have the attacker's name. Detectives search all known addresses and acquaintances of Babner. They put out an APB for the truck, and that night they find the vehicle outside Babner's girlfriend's home. Oof. But the issue is, he's potentially really dangerous. They know he has a gun. Mm. They know he potentially has a bat. Mm-hmm. And the girlfriend has kids.
It's going to be a delicate operation.
Yeah. So what they do is they set up the quick response team. So that's like SWAT.
Yeah.
They deploy them around midnight. They set up in the just a house over and in the alleyways by the home.
Mm-hmm.
In the early hours of the morning, a woman comes out. I think it's the girlfriend, but I couldn't find for sure.
Okay.
And tells them exactly what will happen in the house, who will leave when. And so they just have to sit and wait.
Okay.
At around 8 o'clock in the morning, the youngest daughter comes out to catch a school bus.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment that girl is on the bus and the bus has left, they see Babner in the house and they storm it.
Shit.
Yeah. Babner is arrested and charged with the attacks on both Dan and Danny.
Mm-hmm.
6 months later, both Daniel Keener and Daniel Zapp are back at home with their families. Babner pleads not guilty to the crimes. The evidence is overwhelming, but something just so sadistic in Babner makes him want to go to trial anyway and force the two survivors to testify.
What an asshole.
He doesn't testify himself. They call no witnesses. They bring no evidence. They just want to go through the trial.
I hate him so much.
Yeah. The jury took just 1 hour to convict him.
Suck shit.
Yeah. 2 counts of attempted first-degree murder, 2 counts of kidnapping, 1 count of rape, 3 counts of involuntary sexual deviancy, which I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I know what that means.
1 count of robbery, and 1 count of carrying a firearm unlicensed. Just get him for everything they can.
Yep, why not?
You want to know what his sentence was?
What?
235 years in prison.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
I know!
I love it. You know what? Someone actually asked me once. They were like, why do they bother giving them sentences like that? And I'm like, well...
It's satisfaction.
First of all, it makes us really happy. But second of all, like, imagine if a couple of the convictions went away. He's not going anywhere. He's got 200-something years, you know. Even if a couple of years went away, there's all that to back it up.
Yeah.
You know?
So he actually wouldn't be eligible for parole until 117 years into his sentence.
I can't stop smiling.
Yeah, so he would have to live to be like 160.
Which, to with all that
ever
alcohol,
see outside of a jail cell.
Yeah, with all that alcohol, that's not happening.
Oh, fuck no. And if you see pictures, you know that's definitely not happening. So Dan and Danny actually remained friends. They broke up.
Okay.
I mean, it was their second date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to come back from.
Yeah, but they did stay friends. In 2005, Danny marries Kevin Maguire, and the police chief, as well as the duck hunter Pete Prowell, and the other men that helped save their lives were guests at the wedding.
Oh.
Yeah.
That makes me so happy.
2007, Dan also gets married to his college sweetheart. In 2011, Dan was working on his PhD in psychology, and Danny is working as a clinical social worker.
I'm glad you told that story.
Me too. So there you go.
Oh, that had a nice ending.
It's the first time I've ever told a story when nobody dies.
I was just thinking that. Didn't we talk about that last time?
I think so.
Yeah, I was like, are you... Oh, challenging.
That would have been a really loud bang.
I was very motivated. No, you did it. Nobody died.
Nobody dies.
Oh, that made me so happy.
You're welcome. Yeah. It's only taken me 4 months.
Yep. Look, it's not our niche, but I feel like it has to happen occasionally.
Yeah. Well, you were talking about how bad, like, how frustrating and infuriating your story was, and I was like, I'm going to write one that makes her happy.
Yeah, I feel better now.
There you go.
Yeah.
But I always, the way that Dan, like, And Dan was, he was trying to call 911 in the back, or the, but they were in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
I think he drove them like 12 miles away from where they were or something. So they'd gone really far. Mm. And the fact that the duck hunter just happened to be there, like, it's just so many levels of wow.
It all lined up for them.
Yeah.
It makes me happy.
Yeah. I do that in any situation where I'm even a tiny bit uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I will try and take in as many details as I can.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, the fact that he was looking in the back to see what was in the back of the truck, he remembered the dog's name, he remembered mm-hmm. the sneakers that he was wearing, and they found the exact sneakers in his house and they still had flecks of blood on them.
Fuck yes.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh, I try and do that as often as I can. Mm. The problem is I also have ADD, so if I try and remember a license plate, it goes away in a few seconds, or then things all get messed up.
Oh, yeah. But I'm not good with any, like, words or numbers or things like that, but I'm really good visually. So, like, I remember people's clothing, cars, things like that. Like, I get followed a lot, which I think I've talked about before. Like, just walking around, I get followed by people, and I have so many descriptions in my head of just shit I've taken down in case I need it. Like,
yeah.
It's fucked up, but it's good. It's actually, it has a name. It's called hypervigilance. And it's basically when you feel like you're in danger, you get hyper aware of everything. People with PTSD get stuck in this. And this is why I know what it is. But you suddenly notice absolutely everything about your surrounding and you start remembering it. So instead of like walking down the street feeling chill and you're just like, oh yeah, it's a nice day today. You're going to be like, well, the sun is at approximately 45 degrees in the sky and this guy is wearing like a red sweater and I don't like that child. He's looking really shifty over there and that balloon is
that child.
Yeah.
I just imagine. This is where my brain does that cinematic thing.
Yeah.
Where like you're in a TV show and that's exactly what's happening and then it just like slowly low pan, it, like, sorry, it quick low pans down and this kid just has a fucking switchblade.
Yeah.
But that's an insight into my brain. But yeah, so there you go. Survivor story for you.
Oh, I feel so happy now.
Yeah.
I needed that after.
I mean, they're not going to be often. Because Laura goes, oh, you should try and find something. See, like, let's see if we can find a small one. And I was like, a small murder? Yeah. That's not going
to
happen.
Can you just find, like, a whole true crime murder that just fits in, like, 1 to 2 pages?
No.
Well, because we were talking about this when I got here, and I was like, pretty much the only thing I think would fit that is a case that just happened, and there were like no details out, which like that's just
which is really unsatisfying.
It'd be really frustrating.
So there you go. There's a satisfying one that doesn't require too much.
Yeah, that makes me happy.
You're welcome.
Yay.
Anyway, we're at 1 hour and 40 minutes now, so I think that definitely. Fuck.
I think that's it for today.
Yeah. Do you have any recommendation, Station?
You can watch New Girl on Netflix. Just a really nice show.
My recommendation station is the Maze Runner trilogy.
Yeah.
And just think about that director and the locations and just, oh, really get into it.
Just appreciate it deeply.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's, and Dylan O'Brien. I just recommend Dylan O'Brien. He's so pretty.
He's so fun to look at.
He's just such a good fucking actor as well. Like, holy shit. And he's very, like, I follow him on Twitter and he's very, like, politically inclined. Like, he will just fucking call people out on their bullshit, and
I love people like that.
He's fucking great.
Actually, I saw he called out about that show that got snubbed for the Emmys that just got announced.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I saw that one. I was like, yes.
Yeah, yeah. He's very good like that.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you so much for listening. I've been Ash.
I've been Laura.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Oh, also, don't forget to follow us on all of our socials.
Dead Obsessed.